What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Because World War III is a really bad idea. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. And joining us for this hour is Phil Turney and Dave Gahary talking about their book, Erasing the Liberty, which it says right on the front, My Battle to Keep Alive the Memory of Israel's Attack on the USS Liberty. So, Phil and Dave, thank you for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Mike.
Are you
there?
It's always
a pleasure to be
here. Oh, there we go.
Thanks, Mike.
Well, Phil, obviously you're the author of this book, and why don't you tell us briefly what it's about, and more importantly, why you felt you needed to write this?
How long it took to write it?
No, why you wanted to write it.
Well, I wanted to write it to get the truth out, Mike, and without Dave, I couldn't have done it. He put himself, all in on this, and it was just, very extraordinary. What a book. And, we had a huge article in the New York Times last week, and I'm sure Dave can talk about that.
Yeah, Dave, would you tell us about that? I know you had an article and also an ad.
Yeah, it was just an ad. It was a full-page, full-color ad in the New York Times book review, the holiday book review section, which is the largest book review section of the year, 60 pages. It comes out every Sunday, this book review section. I don't buy the New York Times. I see some of the articles online. That's not why we took it out in the New York Times. We were approached by someone, a patriot, who read the book and was very moved by the book. And he wants to allocate some funds, an awful lot of funds, to promoting the book and the movie project, the film project, and the USS Liberty in general, because it's something that, as a lot of people feel the same way, it's something that really bothers him, and it's bothered him for a long time, and it bothers him that they're able to cover it up so deeply. So we, him and I and Phil, went over what we could do, and we settled on this particular ad that you see, Mike, and it's a powerful ad. It was on page 21 of the insert of the section, the book review section. And people from all over the world have been ordering the book. And we actually had an order today from one of the hosts at Fox News.
Oh, that's a big one right there. Now, I've read the book, and it is very moving. And I'm about to hand my copy of it to somebody I think you both know, Jim Beardsley.
Oh, yeah, Jim's a great guy.
Of course. Yes, we love
Jim.
Yes,
he is. He's actually out here in Hawaii visiting with us, and he was going to try and get back to the studio here so he could say hi to you, but I'm going to say hi to you on his behalf. Looking at what it costs to run an ad in the New York Times, your, I presume, anonymous supporter is being very generous. That's a lot of money to get that ad out there.
The ad is, the cost of an ad is public information. Prior to any discounts that one can receive, I imagine if they would ask for them, which I asked, the ad would go for around, I think it was $33,000, whereas a full-page ad, full-page, full-color ad in the New York Times Daily, not the Sunday, is about $72,000.
Well, it's obviously had the impact if you're getting all these orders. I'm glad people are buying this book. This is a book that people do need to read. And I'm sure most of our listeners are already very well aware of Israel's duplicity in attacking the USS Liberty and trying to blame Egypt for it. And then when that all failed, trying to claim it was all an innocent mistake, the weather was terrible, our pilots can't see, and there have been so much information that's come forward that totally undermines the official story. And then we hear about the bordering on treasonous behavior of President Lyndon Johnson, who literally said he would rather see that ship full of American sailors on the floor of the ocean than to embarrass our friend in Israel. So Donald Trump's caving into Israel again today by recognizing Jerusalem as their capital, he's continuing a long and proud tradition of American presidents of just bowing and scraping before Israel. So, Phil, you're the actual survivor, and would you like to share some of what you recall of that incident with our listeners?
Yeah, thanks, Mike, and thanks again for having my dear friend Dave on, and myself, and of course, you're a strong supporter of the USS Liberty and a friend, and God bless you for that. Thanks for having us on.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. The attack was brutal. It lasted about as long as the attack on Pearl Harbor. Two-thirds of the crew was either dead or wounded. Out of a crew of 294, there were over 208 Purple Hearts, many bronze, well, not many, about 20 bronze, 18 bronze stars, and maybe 10 silver stars, and the rest Purple Hearts and Navy Cross and stuff like that. So you could tell that, you know, it was really, really bad. Over 850 cannon rocket holes, 5,000 over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets in our ship, napalm dropped on our ship, which is a war crime against the Geneva Conventions, which didn't mean crap to Israel. And then we got a 40-by-40-foot hole in our starboard side by one of three torpedo boats that fired five torpedoes at us and continued to fire on us, continuously slaughtering innocent Americans, our firefighters and stretcher-bearers, trying to murder us all. And of course, if we go to the bottom, you know who they're going to blame it on. They're going to blame it on an Arab state. And in this new book, Mike, and I call it new because it's the final edition. I mean, we can always add things to it, but this book is so complete and so detailed, thanks to Dave's tenacity and not giving up on the exact truth is incredible. You got to read this new book. There's a lot of new stuff in it, and it's, I'll tell you, folks, go to USSLibertyMovie.com and find out how to get it, or go to ErasingTheLiberty.com, ErasingTheLiberty.com. Either of those one sites will get you to the book. But, Mike, this attack was not only on just our ship. It was an attack on the United States Navy, and America, all Americans. And you're right. Today, we'll live in infamy as far as I'm concerned. It makes me want to puke to think that Donald Trump got on his knees to Benjamin Netanyahu and licked these boots and made Israel the capital. Now, that's going to cause more problems than we ever wanted or needed in this country, like we don't have enough already.
Absolutely on that one. Now, a couple of points I want to make. Along with all the other medals that were awarded to the crew of the Liberty, Captain McGonagall was awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. And what was very interesting about that is it was the only Congressional Medal of Honor not awarded at the White House by the president personally. Instead, the ceremony was held at the Navy Yard where the public and press could be kept on out. And it was like they were trying to do the right thing by the crew, but they were trying to basically keep it hidden from the public. And you have to look at the way our history of naval events seems to be kind of skewed, because remember the USS Monitor from the Civil War. That was lost during a storm due to non-seaworthy design, but it's honored and remembered. The USS Maine was destroyed by a magazine fire, honored and remembered. USS Arizona lost a Japanese attack, honored and remembered. And, of course, tomorrow's Pearl Harbor Day. The USS Indianapolis lost to a Japanese attack, crew eaten by sharks, honored and remembered. USS Thresher destroyed by a welding failure, honored and remembered. USS Scorpion destroyed by a faulty torpedo battery, honored and remembered. Then you have the USS Liberty, which successfully repelled a sneak attack by Israel, and she was scrapped and forgotten.
Absolutely, Mike. And I might add, when Captain McGonnell got his award at the Navy Yard from a low-level admiral, on his citation, his Medal of Honor citation, it does not mention the attackers. It is nowhere to be found. It is like the ghost did it. Same thing on my Bronze Star with a V. It does not mention who attacked us. And that is just incredible. You know, I've petitioned the Navy, the State Department, CIA, the FBI, everybody that I could think of to have one word inserted into my citation, and that's Israel. And they all refused, said it's not going to be changed, it'll never be changed. There's only one medal that I know of from a person that got it, and he's deceased now. He got it about 40 years after the attack, the Silver Star, and it does mention Israel. That's the only citation that I know of that mentions the Zionist State of Israel doing the murderous, callous massacre aboard USS Liberty. Massacre is a very kind word for what they did to Americans, the Navy, and sailors aboard that ship on the high seas, Mike.
Well, I remember there was an incident where Captain McGonagall actually tried to give the order to abandon ship, but when they put the lifeboats into the water, the Israelis machine gunned them.
That's absolutely true. There, we had enough life rafts for 294 souls. There were only three life rafts left. In fact, I got one of them over myself. It floated on the starboard side, on the port side, to the aft of the ship. I don't know if it was sunk or one of them taken aboard their torpedo boats, but they did take one aboard their torpedo boat as a trophy of their murderous, callous kill of Americans as a trophy for the massacre aboard the USS Liberty, which is inconscionable, destructful, and I just even hate to think about these people honoring these murderers that that killed my shipmates and tried to murder me. And I'll never forget or forgive them. The truth will come out, and thank God for erasing the Liberty, because this book is going to make a lot of waves, and it's doing it already. Even with the early limited edition, it's been a huge success. And with this new ad we got, and thanks to our donor, new things are going to happen, along with, as Dave said, this person from another network, I think he said Fox, wants the book. So, yeah, we're making a lot of waves, thank God.
Well, as well you should, because it was treacherous of Israel. And, of course, when enemy forces are abandoning a naval ship, it's against the law of the sea, various treaties, to machine gun the life rafts that they're trying to get away in. And for Israel to have actually done that tells us that Israel intended to not have any survivors to contradict the story by which they were going to try and frame Egypt for this whole mess.
Absolutely, and we had no clue, Mike, who was attacking us, because they used unmarked jet aircraft, which is another war crime. We didn't know who was attacking you. We thought it was an Arab state. We didn't know who was attacking us until the torpedo boats got close enough. We could see the Star of David, and our thoughts were, oh, thank goodness our great friends, the Israelis, are here to help us, because, you know, they've reconned the ship over and over and over that morning and told everybody, yeah, it's a U.S. Ship, USS Liberty. They looked it up, James' fighting book, identified it as an intelligence gathering ship. They had us on their war table, and when they changed the watch, they said they forgot we were there, and took us off their war table. So this is a pre-planned attack to murder us all, blame it on an Arab state, and they almost got by with it. They just almost got by with it. It was sending commandos right after the torpedo boats left and helicopters to finish us off. But for some reason, they left because I think the gig was up. They knew that Israel did it, and it was too late for them then. It was just too late.
Well, it looks to me like the plan originally was they were going to use the unmarked aircraft to sink the ship, but when they weren't able to, that's when they went ahead and sent the torpedo boats, and then when that failed is when they sent the commandos and the helicopters. But at that point, the jig was up. Word was getting on out that it was Israel attacking the USS Liberty, and that was due in part to a very heroic radio operator who managed to improvise a new antenna after Israel had shot away the communications gear on the bridge of the ship.
Correct. That was Terry Held of RDA, the gentleman I was telling you about that got the Silver Star for his gallantry, hooking up a antenna that was not in service at the time, so it wasn't generating any heat or transmission, so they missed it. And the thing of it is, the terrible thing of it is our government recalling, McNamara recalling, and Johnson recalling the aircraft to come to our aid. And one of the fellows who was on the USS America just passed away, Mr. Sokol, and he has one of the helmets that that one of the pilots threw on the deck. He was so irritated he couldn't come help us. And he's got that helmet, and that's going to be in Dave's possession shortly. So we've got a lot of memorabilia from that attack. And I also have a rocket hole that I cut out. It will someday end up in a museum. It was given to me on loan by Larry Thorne, but I think he wouldn't mind if it goes into a museum when we're all dead and gone. Hopefully we can get this story out, break Israel's back. I mean, literally break their back once American people find out the real truth about their supposed ally, Israel. They're nobody's ally. All they care about is Israel. Israel first, Israel always, and Israel only, period. That's just the way it is. And by the way, they got Marines in Israel on standby in case there's any disturbance. What the hell have we got Marines in Israel for? When the IDF there is to protect their own country is beyond me. I just heard this last night.
That does sound very strange. But getting on back to Israel's behavior, I think the timing of your book and hopefully the movie is very good, because after the lie about Saddam's nuclear weapons fell apart, the American people are coming to understand that we are lied into various wars. We're tricked into various wars. One of the tricks used, of course, is a false flag attack, which is exactly what Israel carried out against the USS Liberty. We actually have another survivor on the phone, Ron Kukal. Ron,
yeah,
are you
Ron,
there?
Ron was, yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to take a quick moment, if I might, to congratulate both Nathan Phil for the New York Times article. I'm looking at it right now. Kudos, congratulations, and thank you for being the patriotic Americans they are.
Much appreciated, Ron. Thank you.
Yeah, nice. I don't want to take up any more time. I'll listen, I'll get off here and listen on the on my computer. Anyway, I just wanted to put that 2 cents worth in. Thank you.
All right, well, thank you very much for that. Now, we're going to have to take a break for a commercial here. When we come on back, I want to go in deeper to this idea that the carrier, America, launched rescue protection missions that were recalled by direct presidential order. We'll be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Dave Gehary and Phil Turney about their book and potential movie project, Erasing the Liberty. It's about the long cover-up of Israel's deliberate attack on the USS Liberty, an attempt to sink the ship and frame Egypt for it to trick the United States into war on Israel's side. And it's not the first time Israel has done this. Israel has faked attacks on Americans and then pointed the finger of blame elsewhere to send the U.S. war machine off against Israel's enemies. So this was just part of a continuing ongoing pattern. What is really probably very hard for Americans to deal with is the fact that after that radio man heroically got that antenna running and they were able to get out a message saying they were under attack by Israel, a nearby U.S. aircraft carrier, the America, launched a squadron of planes. I don't know how many planes were there, but they launched a series of planes to try and get over the USS Liberty and prevent any other Israeli forces from getting close. And Phil, I'll let you take the story from here.
Okay. Thanks, Mike. I will. There's just a little correction here. The first volley of jets came off the USS Saratoga, Captain Joseph Tully, a World War fighter pilot, ace fighter pilot, set the first volley off. We called him before they hit the horizon. He set another volley of aircraft off right after they landed their other planes, and they were recalled directly by Johnson. McNamara recalled the other ones. Now, I do know that America did launch aircraft. Dave might have a better idea of this than this, because he's talked to a lot of different people on the America. But I knew they were doing missions, and they had aircraft in the air, and it's been widely spread that we were within minutes of a nuclear war, possibly with the Russians, because they were these airplanes had nuclear weapons on them. Now, as I said before, Dave, you know, you might want to ask Dave about this too, because he's an expert on this. Even though I was there, Dave's done so much research, and I'll hand it off to Dave. But first, I want to say to Ron Kugel that Ron Kugel was in charge of body recovery and identification. He was a senior enlisted man tasked with that grim task when we got in Walter. Dave, do you want to go ahead?
Yeah, sure.
David.
Yep. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yes. Well, you know, the story, you would think after 50 years that all the facts of the massacre aboard the Liberty would be out there, but they're not, believe it or not. And when Phil was talking about the edition that's coming out now, of course, Mike, you have the limited edition print run, and that was without an ISBN number. Now we have a book that's available that has an ISBN, and it has upgraded information in there, because once this book came out, the first edition or the limited edition print run, once that came out, people came forward who were on the Liberty or who were in the military and had other information. So we added that in there. And one of the fellows who came forward was on the USS Saratoga that Phil had just mentioned. That was the first U.S. Navy ship that picked up the SOS from the Liberty. And the way that it was picked up is fascinating. So it's not just like the Liberty got the message off and then Saratoga picked it up and they could hear exactly what the Liberty was saying. No. The fact is, and folks can read this if they go to the best website address, and Phil mentioned both of them, to go to is erasingtheliberty.com, because there you can get the book. If you want to know about the movie, there's a tab on that website that says the movie. And of course, you can make donations to the movie, which a lot of folks who have been brought over to the website by the ad in the New York Times are doing both. They're actually buying the book on erasingtheliberty.com and then clicking the tab up top of the movie and making a donation to the movie, because I think they realize how significant this story being told to a large audience would be. But what happened was that because the Israelis were jamming all of the frequencies of the Liberty, including the distress frequencies, which again is an act of war, and it's a war crime.
And it proves that Israel knew they were dealing with an American ship.
That's right. Exactly. So, I mean, the evidence is there's just too much evidence to even waste time on them saying that it was an accident. It was a case of my mistaken identity. We're way beyond that, but not
yes,
us.
We are.
Just,
Dave, history. Dave, yeah. Unfortunately, our commercial breaks are spaced kind of irregularly. We're going to take another commercial break, and then we're going to have a big chunk of time for you to tell us this story. And I think everybody's probably looking forward to this. I'm already getting email from people coming on in who are responding to this. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Dave Gaheri and Phil Turney about their book and possible movie, Erasing the Liberty. So, Dave, we've got a big chunk of time ahead of us right now, and I want to go into the story about how the radio man on the Liberty reattached the antenna. They got a signal out. They were being jammed on the U.S. Navy military frequencies by Israel, which proves they knew it was a U.S. ship. How did the signal get out there, and how did U.S. naval forces in the immediate region respond?
Okay, great. Now, first of all, let me just say, Mike, and it's not in the limited edition print run, but it's in the upgraded book. There is some disagreement among crew members about whether or not this fella, Terry Halbardier, who was, I think, an ET, an electronics technician, that whether or not this actually happened the way that some of them have claimed that it happened. And the reason is because there are no witnesses to this, not one, and the information came out over 40 years after the massacre. So I want to say that, number one. Number okay. two is that the radio man who was sending out the distress signal. I think his name was Hellman. I'm pretty sure it was. And he was saying actually the same thing over and over again, that any station, this net, and Phil has said this so many times, I'll say it here since I'm talking, this is Rockstar, we are under attack. Any station, this net, this is Rockstar, we are under attack. And of course, Rockstar was the call sign for the Liberty. Well, what happened was because Israel, as you said, Mike, already knew who they were attacking because they had the frequencies for the Liberty and they were jamming them on purpose to sink it. Since they knew that, there was the way that an SOS would be sent out normally wasn't in that fashion. It would be done by teletype machine. So they couldn't do that because they were knocked out. So they were using a very rudimentary circuit, the voice circuit, which nobody really uses to or nobody really used at that time. And they, of course, they don't do it nowadays. And this young 20-year-old sailor aboard the USS America, or the USS Saratoga, I'm sorry. And he was on board there. He got stationed they called it the Sarah. He got stationed to the Sarah in October of 66. This, of course, was June 8th, 1967. He was just a 20-year-old E3, really just, as he called himself, a lowly seaman. He was on his watch, and he was monitoring this voice circuit, which they only listened to like once an hour because there was nothing on there. There was never anything on there. Well, what happened was, and this is such a fascinating story, because if it wasn't for this one lowly, which he called himself, which is certainly not, he's a hero, one lowly sailor who actually, before he came into the Navy, was a radio nut. His house was filled with antennae, and he loved shortwave radio. So he had his ears trained to listen, and what he heard was static, and that would be static to everybody else, but he sensed a pattern in there. And he asked his superior, one of the crypto guys, actually, could you come over? And he said, listen, what do you think of this? And the crypto guy said, it just sounds like static. And as John told me, he more or less kept on walking. And John said, I don't believe this. So he went over to the receiver, and he sort of fine-tuned it a little bit, and he actually heard it. He said it was garbled. It was garbled because they were off just a frequency, which he fine-tuned. That wasn't a problem, he said. But the problem that we had all along was that they were being jammed. There was a constant carrier, like somebody holding a microphone button down nearby. It distorted their voice a bit. And he said, but by that time, by the time I had tuned them in and actually found them, we could understand what they were saying without too much problem. Of course, they got John off of the gear there, and they sat down a more senior guy. But if it wasn't for John and his experience before coming into the Navy and being determined that he hears the static, but he thinks that it's something there, and by the good grace of God that John happened to be on duty at that time to be listening to that voice circuit, we have the information, because Sarah was the only ship that was picking up this signal, and probably because Sarah was the only one who still said, let's monitor this voice circuit. Nobody's going to be broadcasting anything, but let's monitor it anyway. So that's the story about how that SOS was received.
So what did Saratoga do at that point?
What happened was, after John was relieved by a senior radioman, they, and this is kind of another fascinating part to the story, was that it was time to contact the skipper. So they called up to Captain Tully, who Phil mentioned before, and told him that they had a distress call. Captain Tully insisted, and this is all new to literally everyone who knows anything about the Liberty, Captain Tully insisted that instead of sending up the message through the pneumatic tubes, you know, like when we go to the drive-in at the bank, he insisted that somebody hand-deliver them to him. So one of the guys took the message and carried it all the way up to the bridge to Captain Tully, which John still doesn't understand why that happened, because his shop was all the way forward of the ship, and it took 10 minutes to run that message to the bridge. Uh-huh. And he'd never seen Captain Tully do that with any other messages. They always use the bunny tube. So that delayed the SOS to the captain, but as soon as the captain got the message, then they launched aircraft. And Captain Tully, who was a great friend of Phil Turney and a great friend of the Liberty, actually put out a statement about launching the aircraft and how that happened, and it's in the book, and how they were recalled, and he never knew why they were recalled. All he knew is he got the distress call. A U.S. Navy ship was in need of aid. He launched his planes, and they were recalled. The America also launched planes, and they were recalled. And as far as I can tell, Mike, Johnson, his words, I know that it's been embellished a lot over the decades, but his words appear to be that, just get the ships back or get the planes back. He's not going to embarrass his ally. And he was told this or this was told to the world by Commander Dave Lewis, who was in charge of the cryptological department on board the Liberty. That was told to Dave Lewis by Admiral Geis, who experienced it because he was the one who launched the planes, and he was in charge of the carrier task force group at that time. And he launched the planes, and then he was there when McNamara first recalled them, and then Johnson recalled them. And so Admiral Geis, once Dave Lewis was brought aboard America from Liberty because he was one of the injured, he called him into his cabin. And he said, listen, you're the senior officer on board here from the Liberty. I have to tell you what happened, but you have to swear on your life that you will never repeat it until I'm dead. And Dave Lewis did keep that secret with him for 20 years until he was told at a reunion by another great man, Admiral Maurer, that Admiral Geis had died, and that's when Dave Lewis told his story about Johnson recalling the planes. He didn't mention Israel. He didn't mention Israel. He just said, get the planes back. I will not embarrass my ally. And when Admiral Geis put up a little fight, he said, you're neither big enough nor man enough to challenge me. I'll have you behind a desk.
Mm-hmm. So basically we had a...
What's that?
I was going to say, basically what we had was an American president who was abandoning American military personnel to a watery grave, and then later on lied to the American people he's supposed to be working for, all to protect Israel.
Mike, you're exactly right. And all every president since Johnson to President Trump have been under the thumb of Israel, and all of them are the same. I mean, they will not come out with the truth, but hopefully this book will do it. But my question is, and always has been for 50 years, is this. How did Johnson know who was attacking us? His ally, the only ally he had in that area was Israel, so that's automatic. I mean, that's a gimme. How did he know who was attacking us when USS Liberty did not send that message out until the torpedo boats came close to us and we saw them firing their torpedoes? It's the only time we knew that it was Israel. So he knew long before we did who was attacking us. Now, if that isn't a setup job, nothing in the world is. We were set up to die and go to the bottom, and America would have been yelling for blood, and they would have gotten oceans of blood. because the Arabs, it doesn't matter what state it was at that time, any Arab country would have been in deep, deep trouble with America, and that's how close we come to World War III, as I said. So we're just very, very lucky that the other message got out that it was the Israelis. The Israelis are doing the attacking. And if that would have never gotten out, they would have continued it. But we'd been done for. There's no doubt about it, because when they sent the commandos to come aboard our ship, they were armed to the teeth. I was 50 feet away from the helicopter. And, it's in my book that I flipped them off, and they flipped me off. And the guy was smiling like he, you know, I was his best friend. And the helicopter left. So, yeah, duplicity from our government from day one, June 8, 1967, till now, continues in the Congress. Every president, and they will not tell the truth about what Israel did, no matter what Admiral Morris said, no matter what Lord Boston has said, who was the head counsel of the Board of Inquiry, and he's the top judge advocate. And I might also add, Mr. Starring, Admiral Starring, refused to sign off on the original Board of Inquiry because it says I hadn't had enough time to look at it. They took it away from him, and it was signed off within six or seven days as mistaken identity, which was totally, totally false. What I said to Admiral Kidd and what the other crew members have told the Admiral and people that have talked, it was all hushed up. We were never called in front of the inquiry. As I was hushed up at the State Department by Mr. Susser that run that venue there at the State Department, would not let me speak when I was president of the LVA. He shut off all questioning because I was going to nail these guys, and they wouldn't give me the chance. And so that's just how powerful Israel is in this country and in this world. To get by with what they get by with. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with this new deal in Israel, with the capital being in Jerusalem and everything else, but all it does is put American lives and Westerners' lives in great jeopardy, and I think it's a total, total waste and a total mistake to do. But Netanyahu, once again, got a standing ovation, not only from the Congress, but now from President Trump and his relationship with Kushner, his son-in-law. So setups, we're still being set up by the very government that promises to protect all Americans by following the Constitution of the United States, which they're not doing and never have. That's just the way I feel about it, Mike.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and you need to remember it was that same President Lyndon Johnson who escalated the war in Vietnam based on a bogus sonar report that became the torpedoes in the Gulf of Tonkin. So these are how these things get done. Franklin Roosevelt willingly sacrificed the ships and the men here at Pearl Harbor to get the U.S. citizenry angry to go to war with Japan and, by extension, Nazi Germany. Now, we're almost out of time here. Real quick, Dave, I seem to recall someplace a report that there actually was a United States submarine in the immediate vicinity of the USS Liberty. It was submerged, but supposedly watching what was going on through the periscope. Have you got a confirmation or a denial of that?
Yeah, Mike, that's the story. There were two subs, a fast attack, the Amberjack, and a ballistic, the Samuel L. Jackson. But there is nothing, there's nothing definitive about it. There's also people who believe that it was the U.S., a U.S. submarine that launched the torpedo that hit the Liberty, which, of course, wasn't the case. The Israelis launched five of them, and sadly, one of them hit and that was the only torpedo that Israel had ever launched from their boats throughout the entire time they had them that actually hit a target. It had to be the Liberty. But no, there's nothing definitive about a U.S. submarine.
I just wanted to check. But at this point, it's very obvious that a very cruel joke has been played on the crew of the Liberty, on history, on the American people. Now, we're coming up on our last commercial break, and when we come on back, we're going to have about 4.5 minutes for you and Phil to say whatever you want to say to our listeners. So we'll be back after these few words.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield Tactical Bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
To What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, last segment of the program today. And we're wrapping up here with Dave Gaheri and Phil Turney, who are the authors of Erasing the Liberty and a future movie deal, for which I hope to be involved in the visual effects of. So we've got about 4 minutes left here. Dave, what do you want to share with our listeners?
Mike, thanks. And yes, you will be a big part of it. We have, since we talked about this on your show the last time, we've had a bunch more people in the movie industry, in the film industry, approach us and wanting to get this story out and not wanting anything from it, not wanting any money, just like Phil and I don't want anything for it. We feel very positive that it's going to happen. A lot of positive things have happened lately, which is really nice, because especially with all the horrible news surrounding us. So I would just encourage folks to go to erasingtheliberty.com to get the book, or go to usslibertymovie.com to donate to the movie. This can only be done by all of us. We don't have money. We're not rich. We need literally a little bit from everybody, and we'll get it done. And we'll get the story of the most decorated ship in the history of the United States Navy for a single engagement out there. Hollywood has never, they've had plenty of opportunity to tell Americans about this history that is hidden and has been hidden for 50 years. It's a national disgrace, and we can only do it with your help. Mike, thanks so much. I'm going to pass it over to Phil. Merry Christmas to you and yours and to your audience.
Okay, Phil?
Yeah, thanks, Mike. And again, I want to thank you and RBN, John Staten, RBN, he's been a star supporter of the USS Liberty. And I really think that radio station, RBN, stays on the air forever. I might add that at the very top of our new book, the new edition, is a quote from David Lewis, Commander David Lewis, who we talked about earlier, that almost lost his life in the torpedo explosion. And there's been, you know, many, many books written about the USS Liberty. But in his view, now he was in charge of over 200 of the crew, because he was a spy, he was a spook. And he says one of the finest books he's ever seen. And for him to say something like that, folks, tells you a lot about what he knows and what he's read. He's read about Erasing the Liberty. And one of the reasons we call it Erasing the Liberty is the reason that they are trying to erase us from history. But we're not going to let them do it. So, folks, as Dave said, go to erasingtheliberty.com, erasingtheliberty.com. Do your thing. Let's make this happen. And it's not just for us, folks. It's for America. We can change history, but we need your help. We can change history for the right, not for the wrong. God bless all of the men and women in the uniform and the veterans and all of us. And as Dave said, I wish everyone a Merry Christmas. And my very best, James Beardsley, a good friend of mine, has been for years and years and years. He's giving my best regards, Mike.
I certainly will. We're expecting him back here any moment. He's going to be sorry that he missed you. There's our music. It's time to end our show. Please stay tuned for John Stedmiller. He's got a lot of interesting stuff to share with you. Please share what you learn here and at the website with everyone that you know. We know that the corporate media is trying to keep us all blindfolded. It's time for the people to work together to take the blindfold off. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands. And a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seemed to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite. listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.